Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Life can bring surprises, including unwanted medical bills. With FamiTrust, based on household size and income, you could get low-cost, even free health insurance. Call now, 601-340-50, 601-340-50.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad that you are with me on this Tuesday night of Egg Bowl week. And yes, this one has a little bit less luster than they've had in years past. It is still very much Egg Bowl week, and tonight we're going to talk about that a little bit. What's at stake for Ole Miss in particular, of course, in this game? What is at stake for Ole Miss in this game? Because even though it appears that the playoff is extremely unlikely, did not get the most favorable draw from the committee tonight, but they got the one that probably should have been the most expected. There is still stuff to play for in this game, I think. And not like the bragging rights thing. That's not something that I really talk about or subscribe to too much. You guys know me. I think the Egg Bowl is important, of course. You want to beat your in-state rival. But I think there's more bigger picture program things at stake for Ole Miss in this game. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And, of course, get to your comments. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter one, but we're still going to read as many comments as we can on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I'm glad that you are here. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Don't forget also like and leave a comment and all that stuff on YouTube as well. In this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you're a small business owner and you need legal advice, or you want to start a small business and you need legal advice, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. Call this number or save this number, 662-397-9799. Also, if you've been personally injured, or look, if you haven't been personally injured, lucky you for sure. But if that day comes, you don't want to be left out in the cold. So save this number and call the Gregory Law Firm. And if you've been personally injured, don't delay another second. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm in Fulton, Mississippi, for all of your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. So we'll start with what's at stake in the Egg Bowl. And you guys I've already seen some comments already about the ranking itself. And so I'll just leave that up to you guys. But for now, what's at stake in the Egg Bowl? And I think the result of this game, I mean, breaking news, more 11, the result of the rivalry game matters. It does, because I have seen that sentiment from some where it's like, the Egg Bowl doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Season's over. Even if they are unable to take advantage of the most chaotic final weekend of the season in like college football history, there are still things to be gained in this game, and I think it's twofold, right? On one hand, and I think this is the lesser of the two, quite frankly, on one hand, your in-state rival, who you recruit against, not so much at the moment, but you do recruit against your in-state rival, they are going to be trying to get a lot of players via transfer portal, some with Mississippi ties. They are reeling bad right now. You guys know this. They're 2-9. It's a really bad football team. Fan support, understandably so, from their perspective. I mean, I wouldn't have paid money to go see them play, you know, Missouri either, but fan support is at a very low spot. They had a really hard time selling tickets this year. Roster's in a bad place. It's tough there right now, and you can end a disastrous season with just a crushing final blow. They have the worst defense in the SEC. They have arguably the worst defense in all of college football. Certainly, you can argue that they have the worst defense in the Power Five. There are really no excuses for Ole Miss to lose this game, but the opportunity presents itself to have like a 2008 kind of result where you just beat them soundly. If Ole Miss shows up focused and locked in, which, you know, maybe could be a challenge, they have an opportunity to further dig the hole that their in-state rival is currently in, because they are in a big hole and it's going to take a lot for them to climb out of it. And losing soundly to Ole Miss will only further create the energy around the program that you want your rival to have. But more importantly than that, because again, I think that's secondary to this, even though this season has gone the way it has, and we talked about it all offseason, it's playoff or bust. That was it. And if they don't make the playoff, which seems very unlikely, it is a bust. They had opportunities in all three of their losses to win these games, and they would be in the position right now as four touchdown favorites to win, and they are guaranteed a playoff spot. And they squandered those opportunities. That's very real. That's a real conversation. We talked about it last time. They have underachieved relative to talent, schedule, and expectations. There's no doubt. There are questions about management of personnel on offense. There are questions about staff on offense. They scored one second-half touchdown in their three losses to not particularly good teams or great teams anyway. All they had to do was win one of three games against Kentucky, LSU, and Florida, and they could not get that done. That, if it ends in missing the playoff, is a failure. However, one of you guys said it last time, and I agree, that does not mean the program is a failure. In fact, if they are able to get a win in the Egg Bowl, you guys know this already, that would be, before the bowl game, that would be 38 wins in 4 years. 9, 11, 8, 10. 38 wins in 4 years with a bowl game pending. And only one of those 38 wins would be a bowl win. It was the Peach Bowl. That's the only, in the last 4 years, that would be the only bowl win that they would have, again, pending the one that they'll play in maybe, you know, first day of January. That is stability. That is sustainability, right? That is a very important thing. That word is very important because you have the people that are talking about, if not now, then when for Ole Miss. If this team couldn't make the playoff, then they never would be able to. Last year's team would have made the playoff if the ACC and Big 12 would have gotten off their rear ends and expanded the playoff a year, the year that they were supposed to, as opposed to delaying it. Hugh Freeze would have taken them to the playoff. The program has been in the position that they could not get into this year. But from a big picture perspective, that is stability. That is sustainability. And for all the questions, and every single one of them is justified, for all of the questions about management of things and personnel and et cetera, and Kiffin and offense and all of those things, it is an objective fact that Lane Kiffin has done a phenomenal job in his time at Ole Miss, an outstanding job. So this season would be ultimately a failure, but winning nine games, beating Mississippi State, entering an offseason where you currently have a top 15 recruiting class. And I saw Pete Nako say today that Ole Miss is one of the programs that's expected to be the biggest spender in the transfer, one of the biggest spenders in the portal yet again this offseason. There are still things that you can move forward and maintain as a program. But you cannot do that without inspired confidence from your people. And right now, the fan base, it seems like the fan base at large has a lot of questions and a lot of frustration. You know what helps end, or at least slow down some of the questions and frustration? Beating the hell out of Mississippi State, recruiting well, and portaling well. That will really help. And also, as we talked about last time, I think that some staff changes are warranted. But even if that doesn't happen, we'll see. I think that that's also coming. I'm not sourced on that. I just think that that's also coming. But either way, ending the season in a dominating win, if they're able to pull that off, which we'll see. But ending the season on that note, entering recruiting and portal season with some momentum, reinvigorating to some degree the fans back into, you know, buying in and donating and things like that. that can happen with a blowout win on Thursday if they're able to get one. So I think that you have seen proof that the program is in good shape. Did they maximize this roster this season? Absolutely not. That they did not come close to maximizing this roster. But that doesn't mean that they don't have the ability to maximize rosters and build another really good one like this and continue to maintain a level of winning and sustainable winning at Ole Miss. But it starts with a win on Thursday. That, to me, is what's at stake. It's reigniting people into the belief that Lane Kiffin is right for Ole Miss and he can do it at Ole Miss because he's shown it in the past. This year is what it is, but you can get people to buy back into that idea and start your program back on a forward path. But you've got to win this game, certainly against this Mississippi State team, to get that done. We'll talk playoff rankings and get to your messages after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you're a Mississippi company and you need technology, any kind of tech in the office, check them out, absms.com. They'll service you anywhere in this state, and if you tell them I sent you, you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day. Their online banking platform is great. Every time I go in, I get treated like I'm a friend and not a customer. And again, I tell you guys this all the time. The people that work at my Priority One Bank location do not know that we are in partnership together. They could not possibly care less about who I am, but that's how they treat me because Priority One Bank makes me, and they will do the same for you, their priority. Colin gets us started, says Alabama's ranked 13 when Ole Miss is 14. I have never seen more bias in your lifetime. The counter is, and it's kind of a condescending counter, is Ole Miss lost to Kentucky at home. I know Oklahoma beat Alabama badly. They did. Oklahoma's better than Kentucky. And that was on the road. Everything, if Ole Miss comes up short, everything, it won't be the Florida game. It won't be the LSU game. Everything will point back to handing Kentucky their only conference win at home. That is where they failed. It is there more than anything else that season or this season. It's a horrible loss, and while I think Clemson being at 12 is an absolute joke, if Clemson's – I said this on Twitter, and I'll just repeat myself. If Clemson is the 12th best team in college football, then I am the president of the United States. They have no business being at 12. Absolutely not. And I hope that South Carolina takes care of that this weekend because the ACC should absolutely not in any way be in position to have three teams make the playoff. It should be a one-bid league, and there's a chance that it's a two-bid league and possibly a third. That's insane, and that should not happen. You think any glimmer of hope for Ole Miss is officially gone now? Not officially, but they do need, they do need a lot of help, right? Obviously they need to win the game, and frankly, they need to win the game by a lot of points. They need to win the game comfortably. So they need to move up to number 11, right? As long as Boise State keeps winning, they need to move up to number 11. So how do they get there? How does that happen? Because, again, Arizona State, if they win the Big 12, the Big 12 is going to come from outside of the top 12. So Boise State will get a bye as long as they continue to win. They need a lot of help. Notre Dame losing to USC would certainly help. Texas losing to Texas A&M won't do anything. So I think you want to avoid A&M finding their way back in ahead of you. So Notre Dame losing to USC, maybe a Miami loss. Again, not all of these have to happen, but a combination of three or four of these need to happen. A Miami loss, a Georgia loss to Georgia Tech, Tennessee losing to Vanderbilt, which is possible. SMU losing to Cal this weekend, Clemson losing to South Carolina, Alabama losing to Auburn. They need to move up many spots. They need absolute, complete, and total chaos. And college football breeds chaos often. It does. They can get a handful of these losses. I have a feeling, and you guys are really not going to like this, I have a feeling that Ole Miss is going to end up being the last team out. I think that it's college football. Notre Dame and Tennessee are going to lose. People are going to lose in front of them. That will happen. I don't think there's going to be enough, and they'll be the last team out. It's a disgrace to what was the best regular season in the world that a team can lose 30% of their games and still have a chance to win a national title. I have no interest in this format of college football. I hear where you're coming from. I could not possibly disagree with you more. This season has been the drama and the meaningful games and the crazy results have been a true joy as a fan to consume. I mean, Arizona State BYU was massive and people were locked into that result. And this time last year, that game wouldn't have mattered. How many games that got played this past Saturday would have mattered if we kept the 4-team playoff format? Alabama-Oklahoma would not have mattered at all. It would have been just a cute little footnote. Ole Miss-Florida would not have mattered. Wouldn't have mattered. Alabama-Oklahoma would not have mattered. Arizona State-BYU would not have mattered. Colorado-Kansas would not have mattered. The only games that would have mattered last weekend were Ohio State, Indiana, and Miami, Wake Forest. Oregon didn't even play last weekend. I mean, Texas, Kentucky. That's what we're talking about. Instead, you guys won't like this either. Instead, the 12-team playoff created a situation in which Tennessee fans were doing the Gator Chomp in Neyland. It's totally enhanced the regular season in so many ways. The Egg Bowl is a program momentum game. Absolutely. I mean, you can punch them while they're down or kick them while they're down or whatever and recapture some fan base imagination. Got 2 weeks to climb up 3 to 4 spots. Need South Carolina to beat Clemson, but that will likely put South Carolina ahead. I don't know if likely is the right word, as long as Ole Miss looks impressive as well. It's hard to ignore a 24-point home loss to a team that they're jumping. Not all hope is gone. Chaos must happen, though. Hugh needs to make some of his famous calls so he has a clear head for the Iron Bowl. Jeez. I know Kiffin says a lot in press conferences, but what he said about him wanting to be at Ole Miss and he thinks that he can win there, maybe it's just him trying to keep his job, but it sounded genuine. No, it's not him trying to keep his job. Ole Miss cannot fire him. That is not on the table in any way, shape, or form at all. You know, there's probably a lot of truth to it. I think, quite frankly, what should be keeping him up at night is how close they should be. I mean, they should have one loss at the moment. You can give, like, I know they should have won all three games, but it's football. Sometimes you can't play perfect all the time. They should be a one-loss football team in the top six right now, you know, possibly being in scenarios for the SEC championship. And I think largely it was that. It all comes back to coaching, regardless if you want to blame it on offensive line. Well, who built the offensive line, right? It's all things. The running back room, well, whose fault is that ultimately? Regardless of what angle you want to take about why that's happening, it still falls on coaching. It all is. But I imagine he's kind of kicking himself at night because he did have the team that should be comfortably in the playoff right now. He should have that, and he does not. Ole Miss gave him everything he needed to win this year, and he did not. Does that mean that he's a bum and they should fire him? Well, of course not. He's a very good football coach. He's done very good things at Ole Miss. That's what makes this year so perplexing, is they've won games like that in the past. They've been able to get themselves into that spot, and they couldn't this year with the most talented team they've had. At least we don't have to see any four-wheelers on the field on Friday. There are some rumors that you're going to see for Mississippi State a helmet logo with some gold on it. So that will be a – if Ole Miss beat State the way the odds makers think that they will, then that will not go over well post-game. You're not totally sure they win the game, and that's just you questioning the effort. It would take a lot for them to lose. Now you think they'll win, but 26 is too large. Is it, though? So here's the thing about Mississippi State. They have a talented quarterback that has kind of hit a wall a little bit. He's hit a bit of a freshman wall, it seems. They don't protect him well either. The offensive line does not protect him well either. They do have good wide receivers. I like their wide receivers, and they're running the football a little bit better lately. They are awful. They are awful. Missouri sleptwalked early and beat them by 19 in Starkville and was taking knees inside the five at the end of the game. They're awful. And if Ole Miss shows up and just plays with effort, 26 isn't too large. The only thing that can stop Ole Miss from winning that game and winning it comfortably is effort. That's it. Personnel-wise, if Ole Miss plays with effort, they can play the way they did on Saturday and win the game comfortably. That's how bad Mississippi State has been. If Ole Miss loses this game, or if it's close, it's a catastrophe. That's how bad this Mississippi State team is. And ask State fans, they will tell you the same thing. I've had to watch them every Saturday. They're that bad. They stop Kentucky on fourth down. They win. Same thing with LSU. And Florida was one score, many drop touchdowns. You think PC has been awful, but it's not like the losses aren't blowouts. Kiffin has a point. I don't know what PC is, but yeah, they've been very, very close. Now, there's a reason that they did not win those games. And so being close is only as good as winning the close games. But it doesn't have to be a disaster after the season ends. It doesn't have to be. It's up to Lane Kiffin to do some reflection on why the offense is the thing that disappeared in their losses, why they only scored one second half touchdown in their three losses, why it's his side of the ball that kind of has the drama. I say his side of the ball, he's the head coach. Why it's the offensive side of the ball that has the drama. But 38 wins in 4 years is, if they're able to win the Egg Bowl, is, I keep repeating myself, but it bears repeating, that is legitimately, that's sustainable. That is very, very good and sustainable. And just because this season came up short and will be a failure doesn't mean the program is a failure. Those two things can be true at the same time. Nothing else matters. This was the year. Is Lane still the dude? Ole Miss upper ups will need to answer that. They don't need to answer that. The answer is yes. That answer is yes. There's no debate. Portal is a one-year solution unless you have the foundation. It's rickety at best. Show your work on that. The portal era started in 2020. Well, really 2021. In the 4 years of the portal era, Ole Miss has won 38 games. 37 regular season games. Is it a one-year solution? The program itself is still very healthy, winning the Egg Bowl in a manner that shows the gap between them, keeps the momentum you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, Banks doesn't tear his ACL, and that first Florida touchdown, that might have been a pick. That was tough. That was really tough. Ivy Harris, Watkins, Dart, etc. show the portal can help past 1 year. Yes. You'd like to think guys like Dart, Watkins, Pegues, Ivy, etc. would want to go out on in the vault as winners. Yes. There's a fair question about how motivated will they actually be this week. It's a fair question. It's a fair thing to wonder. I would be genuinely surprised, truly surprised, if Jackson Dart in particular did not lock back in. I mean, look, they were all emotional after they lost to Florida, but Dart in particular, I would be shocked beyond measure if he did not lock back in and, you know, prepare intensely for this game. That would be shocked. Same thing with guys like Pegues. I mean, look, I know that people think that money has corrupted all of these players and that it's all terrible because they're getting paid and none of them have any pride whatsoever. But that's not the what I've witnessed this year in college football. Florida had nothing to play for 2 weeks ago when they beat LSU. My God, did you see what Texas did to them? They had nothing but pride on the line 2 weeks ago when they played LSU and they beat them. It's, I mean, Ole Miss has got nothing but quote unquote pride on the line, but pride in all of the goofy cliche things like playing for the love of your teammates and the game itself, that's real though. That's a very real thing. And it would be, it would be a real shame if you don't get true effort on Friday. That would be a shame. And I think it's frankly, it's inexcusable. It's also what you're getting paid to do. These guys are professionals after all, but high character guys like Dart, I don't think you have to worry about effort with a guy like him. Say Charlie Weiss Jr. is an absolute incompetent and has no business being a coordinator at the Power 2 level. I understand. Truly, I do. And the offense has not looked the same since Levy left. Lane Kiffin has a play sheet and a headset, though. You can't just put the offensive struggles on him. You think Pegues gets a sack, a rushing touchdown, and a reception touchdown in his last game? That would be really funny. Lane Kiffin being at Ole Miss is the best thing that can continue to happen right now. This year did not work out, but come on, guys, have some perspective. Austin, thank you for the super chat, man. Really, really appreciate you, man. Thank you. Your biased opinion is that they should be ahead of Alabama. You get strength of schedule, but the committee has said that doesn't matter. Look, if you switched the helmets, then I would bet that Ole Miss would be ahead of Alabama, right? I think that there is some level of brand bias happening there. But if you look at resumes, right, Alabama doesn't have as bad of a loss as Ole Miss has. And no, they did not blow out Georgia, but they beat Georgia. They beat South Carolina, not in the same way Ole Miss did, but they have similar wins. I mean, their losses, the Tennessee loss for them is better than the LSU loss for Ole Miss. The Vanderbilt loss for Alabama is probably not anymore, but at the time it was viewed as equal to that of Florida. I think if Florida and Vanderbilt played right now, the outcome of that game would be different. Not different. They didn't play, but the outcome of that game would be Florida would win, but they at least view that as like a wash, right? And Oklahoma on the road is a better loss than Kentucky. I mean, it does track. So, need Clemson to beat South Carolina? Are you sure? Clemson's currently ahead of you. You need South Carolina to beat Clemson and hope that you beat Mississippi State badly enough to stay in front of South Carolina. Vandy and Hugh Freeze could do them a big solid. No kidding. The Egg Bowl is really important to the common fan, a.k.a. the average Grove Collective supporter. It's a game that matters to the program as a whole, not just the season and this team. It's a must win. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't know all of the big money people, right? And I think, quite frankly, I think a lot of the fundraising for next year's roster has already been done anyway. Could be wrong. I think that that's, or at least they've been efforting that anyway. But there are a lot of people, especially with the older school mindset, that they would get inspired by a dominating Egg Bowl win. And I know that some people don't like that or think that it shouldn't be that way. I'm just telling you, I know one in particular who's just certainly not a super donor by any stretch of the imagination, but he lives right here in Mississippi and he gives a lot of money, and he's got very good seats and all that stuff, and the Egg Bowl matters to him, and the result of the Egg Bowl matters to him. And if they are able to win it, he will be more receptive to giving more after that. It's just that simple. Won't be long before they move to 16 teams. I guarantee it. I guarantee. I 100% agree with you. I think they're going to 16 soon. Watch the Big 12 get left out for Tulane. I don't think that will happen, but it could. Is Trey out for the season? I don't know. I guess we'll find out tomorrow on the injury report. I would be shocked if you see him playing an Ole Miss uniform again. Here's the scenario. Listen to how unlikely this is. Beat State. Southern Cal beats Notre Dame. Auburn beats Alabama. Clemson. See, I don't agree with the Clemson-South Carolina thing. I don't. Because South Carolina's behind you. We'll be dreading that Kentucky loss for decades. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. The strength of schedule will be damaged from just playing State. Yes, but luckily their strength of schedule is also really, really good. So maybe that helps. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. The SEC has no reason to move to 9 conference games with this chaos. No reason at all. None. No reason whatsoever to move to 9 conference games. Why would you do it? Look at what it's costing you already. No reason to do it. None. If they make that decision this summer, I think it's short-sighted because it would be a financial decision, but the playoffs and making the playoffs is also financially lucrative. So if you're Lane and you have the chance to run the score up, you run the score up. Yes, you throw it in the fourth quarter. Neil McCready said that after Ben Garrett's questions about Bentley at the press conference yesterday, Lane had a one-on-one with Ben. Do I have any insight on that? Nothing beyond what Ben wrote himself about it. Lane is going with, they don't believe that Bentley can help this team for whatever reason. And I know it's been talked about a lot by me and a lot of other people. It doesn't pass the smell test when you are like, let's play this out, right? Let's play this out as if that's simply what it is, that they just don't think he's good enough to help this team with its current makeup. They don't think he's good enough. Okay. If that's the case, then why? I mean, the issues with this date all the way back to the Judkins saga, right? Because when they let Quinshon Judkins walk, when they said enough was enough and would not engage with him anymore, and even after he left, they inquired about coming back. Like, they let Quinshon Judkins go. And when they let him go, the messaging out of the program, the media didn't make it up. The messaging out of the program was, they are better off without him. They're better off without Quinshon. And it started with, got to make sure you lock down Ulysses Bentley first. And they did that, and they paid him some large amount of money to play for them this season. So they let Quinshon walk because they're better off without him. And they keep Bentley, and they bring in Parrish, which that was a good evaluation. That was a good hit. I don't think they used him the right way. I think they treated him like he was Derrick Henry and gave him carries that physically he wasn't able anyway, but still, that was so they bring him in, and that made sense, right? That was a good thing. And they bring in Diggs, who could not play for them this season, and they kind of knew that going into it, at least the first half of the season anyway, if not beyond. And they bring in Rashad Amos. And when the season begins, they tell you that Henry Parrish won the job, which is fine, totally fine. But Matt Jones, the walk-on, was running back too. So in that moment, if you're trying to convince your fans and people that it's purely a football decision, that Ulysses Bentley regressed so badly that he can't help the team in the same way that, with all due respect to the young man who's done everything right, in the same way that Matt Jones can, it's hard to believe that. It's just hard to believe that. And then when you give him opportunities, was it perfect? Always no. Not at all. But in Baton Rouge, you saw that he has that home run ability still. And that was on a fourth and short, by the way. He hits that home run. And nobody else on the team that has gotten touches at running back has displayed the ability to do that, right? And then in Georgia, he had a red zone touchdown, which imagine that, but also had big catches out of the backfield. Like, he really helped them against Georgia, and he really helped them against LSU. So he's not good enough anymore. He's regressed to the point where he is so bad that you don't think he can help you at all. But yet you play him in Baton Rouge, and he does help you. And you play him against Georgia, and he does help you. And he does good things, and he does produce some level of explosiveness in both games in different ways. But then against Florida, you choose, in like, logically, I get that Micah Davis is fast, and they thought that the only way to have success running the football against Florida would be on the edges. But this guy that you brought back, who was in your system, regressed so much that he cannot help you ahead of two walk-ons and a converted wide receiver. So if that is actually true, then where did you fail for that to be the case? Because he's been in your system, and you've had a chance to evaluate him. So when did it go wrong? Was it after you decided to pay him? I assume that's possible. Players do regress. But whose fault is that? And on top of it, we're not just talking about Bentley. We're talking about Rashad Amos as well. Did you really evaluate him? And you had to pay him, because remember, he was committed to Mississippi State and Colorado. You had to pay him out of the portal too. And did you miss that evaluation so badly that he also cannot get carries over walk-ons and a converted wide receiver? And I know he didn't make the trip to Gainesville, but that's the reason for that. At least you would assume so. The best case scenario for why the running back situation happened the way it did was because of a gross misevaluation from one portal player and a deep regression from the guy that you had to keep after you ran Quinshon Judkins off. That is still a very bad thing. Like, that might be the reason. Like, well, hey, they just don't believe that he can help them on the field. If that's the reason, that's the reason. Accept it. People say accept it and move on. I don't think you should move on, because getting yourselves in this situation is still a very bad thing. Running Judkins off to keep Bentley, to not use him, to recruit Amos, to not use him, is not good. If that's the explanation, and that does appear to be the simplest one, right? And the simplest explanation is always, or is likely to be, the correct one. Like, Neil and Chase talked about it today. I really like those guys. They do a really, really, really good job. Really like them. Got to visit briefly with Neil at Media Days. And I liked him. I had a good conversation. He's a nice guy. And that's kind of what they were going through, is it could be just as simple as they don't feel like Bentley can help them. Like, it just might be that simple. And so people talking about, like, rumors and conspiracies and stuff, it's far more likely that they just don't believe that he can help them. That makes sense, right? That is totally and completely sound in logic. That does not mean, and they didn't say this, but that does not mean that that's okay. Like, that's not acceptable, even if that's the answer. If that's the answer that everybody's been looking for, that doesn't make it acceptable. You know what I mean? Even if it's true, that doesn't make it okay, because it's not okay. They really bungled that room. And if they were able to figure it out personality-wise with Judkins, where would they be today? Not with three losses, I don't think. I think that he would have been worth one more win for this team, at least, in one of those close games, even with the offensive line that they had. So the entire thing was bungled completely, even if it's as simple as they just don't think he's good enough to play. So, yeah, I mean, that they did a really good job breaking it down today, or a really good job, because they do a really good job talking about stuff like that. I mean, they do. If that's the answer, though, that's still an indictment on coaching. Don't want to make this about MSU, but they seem to like their football program. They seem to like their football program is in dire straits. I don't know if that's the case, but they've reached the acceptance phase of the mourning. In a lot of ways, the season reminds you of 2015. You beat Georgia this year, and 15 you beat Bama. However, you lose at Florida in both seasons. The 15 Memphis loss is Kentucky this year, and 4th and 25 is LSU when you don't trail for 1 second till the end. Wow, that's a very interesting parallel. The projected spread of every first-round game right now is 7+, and the 5-12 game is 20 points and 12-team playoff for 5 playoff teams. I mean, Curtis, then I would encourage you not to watch this weekend. Don't watch, because if you don't like it and you think it's bad, then don't enjoy the fruits of that labor. Is your way too early prediction on what impact players from this year return next year? Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, they should have Daquan Wright. They should have Logan Diggs. They should have quarterback figured out. They should have Caden Lee. I mean, I guess there's a line of thinking that Juice Wells returns, which we'll see. If Cunningham signs, I think he'll start. I have no idea what they're going to do on the offensive line. Not a clue. Wouldn't surprise me if there's a staff shakeup there. I don't know that. That's not sourced. It's just a thought and just an outward kind of word vomit thought. On defense, I think you might have a really nice nucleus of guys coming back. I mean, I think that Daugherty will return, right? Paul's probably off to the NFL, and he should be. Perkins, you would assume, is back. It's going to cost a lot of money, but you got to do it. Xavien Harris returns. The four blue chippers from last year's recruiting class on the defensive line all back. There's a lot of, if you kind of think about it, there's a lot of pieces on this team that could return for next year. And obviously, they'll use the portal. There are some similarities to Ole Miss with the 22 Egg Bowl. If they play with that level of effort again, it should win the game on Saturday regardless. I do think some guys like Dart will rally. You expect to see some of them in the bowl game too. 10 wins would be a decent consolation despite the failure. Thoughts on players retweeting posts about freeing Bentley this week? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that they're frustrated too. I mean, it's a guy that they've seen produce and a guy that they clearly like, and I think that adds another layer to wondering, you know, what's up, because why does Jordan Watkins think that Bentley needs to be freed? If it's so obvious that he's not good enough to help them, then why does Jordan Watkins think that he can't? Even Jordan Watkins knows Bentley should be starting every game here. Yeah. Now that we've arrived in the free agency era, Rebs have a chance every few years. This year was missed. They would have made the playoff last year, though. Had mixed opinions on Kiffin, but he will become an elite coach. Truly think he just needs more time to figure out who he has as an offensive play caller. We're doing score predictions now, yeah, if you want one. Ole Miss something around 38-17. I don't know. I can't imagine Mississippi State holding anybody to 38 at this point. But Clemson moving 5 spots after beating the Citadel. That's comical. Yes, it is. I mean, the chaos weekend helped, but they don't belong there. You think the program took the next step by beating Georgia that bad? Lane proved he can do it. Now it's just the consistency. Maybe I'm crazy, but I believe in him. I don't think you're crazy for believing in Lane Kiffin. You're not crazy for that at all. They do have to do some self-scouting to figure out why they are inconsistent. Florida game was a real dagger for college football playoff hopes, but with no run game at all, you don't think that they would survive the first round anyway if they did get in. You say that, but they beat Georgia by 18. kind of done talking about the rankings, barring some unprecedented chaos. Yeah, I'm done with it too. We won't really talk about it. I mean, we might a little, but I don't think we'll talk about it much on the show tomorrow, just because it's that you need insane chaos. You do think the imbalance of the SEC lends to it arguing they are better than teams like Indiana and company? We'll get to 16 eventually. If the SEC only gets three teams in, the move to 16 will happen this offseason. Do I think Austin Simmons should play in the bowl game, or will Dart want to finish it out? It is exclusively up to him. No, you do not tell Jackson that he's not going to play in the game. If he wants to, he plays. Absolutely, 100%. You allow him to finish on his note. I mean, he has done – man, he's just been really good and handled himself the right way. Was dealt a weird hand last year with the Spencer Sanders situation. And, I mean, has worked hard and played hard and played hurt. And just been a really good, just a really, really good quarterback and somebody that will be, you know, what we talked about yesterday. I mean, he's in the conversation after the Mannings of one of the greats in school history. You can argue that maybe he's behind Matt Corral and Chad Kelly or whatever, however you want to do it, but he's up there. He's been really good and a lot of different ways for Ole Miss. And, you know, he should go out on his own terms. If he wants to play in the bowl game, hell yeah, you let him play in the bowl game. Absolutely. Needs to be an audit of the staff in the offseason. The talent has been there all year, and it falls on the coaching for shortcomings. Kiffin either has to take over or find a new coordinator. And it's things like, you know, why is the offensive line bad? Are they evaluating poorly? Are they being coached well enough? The running back situation has been a disaster. There needs to be some self-scouting, but I think it's all on the other side of the ball. Do I know of any opt-outs so far after the Egg Bowl? I don't think we'll know that until we know that they are left out of the playoff. That's when we'll know. There will be, I assume there will be a very significant number of them, but that's just kind of how it is now. Dart has been amazing all around for his dedication into this program, breaking Eli's record on senior day in Oxford will be special, and Eli better be there. I wonder if he'll be there or not. I don't know. I do not know. Did Ole Miss adjust running plays for without Judkins? I don't know the answer. I'm not a schematic guy. I'm not going to pretend like I'm smart enough to do so. Anyway, basketball's 5-0. Yeah, big one. Big one on Thursday. Right? Isn't it Thursday? I think it's Thursday. Against BYU. Yeah, it's Thursday. And that's going to be an interesting game. And I will I'll be watching that later in the afternoon. Post Thanksgiving. Yeah, that'll be great. Prediction for that game? I have no idea. I don't know what BYU's like. I mean, look, they beat Mississippi Valley by double the score. They beat Idaho badly. They beat Queens, North Carolina badly. Beat UC Riverside by 6 and Central Arkansas by 38. I have no idea how good they are or they're not, but we will see. If Weiss leaves for a head coaching job, would Lane say he will take over the play calling? I don't think so. I think he'll hire a coordinator. I think he likes that. Any guesses on what a possible Ole Miss loss would do to the two programs? It would be a catastrophe for Ole Miss, and it would create a toxic situation that would I can't even wrap my mind around what the fan base's reaction to that would be. And for Mississippi State, everything from their perspective, everything bad that happened all season would be erased. For them, from their perspective. Does the soft spring need to be reevaluated? Argument can be made. The issues with the O-line would have been known before the start of the year and changes could have been made. I don't know. I don't think so. I simply don't know. I mean, how many impactful portal offensive linemen were available after spring practice? Who would be on the potential OC list? I have no idea. I've had a lot of I don't knows tonight, but I'm just being honest with you guys. I have no idea. Frankly, I would be more surprised that they move on from Weiss than a couple of other staff members. So anyway, I got to run, guys. Went longer than I was intending, but that's okay. I'm just glad that you guys are here, as always. We'll be back after the game, and I'll see you guys then. You'll have a very happy Thanksgiving, and be safe if you're traveling. Because I want to see you guys again. So I'll see you after the game on Friday, and y'all have a good Thanksgiving. Thankful for you guys, and I'll see you soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.